and welcome to Banter, the panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from Mae West to June Whitfield are Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
Hello.
Natalie Haynes.
Hello.
And Will Smith.
Hello.
OK, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my personal favourites, of which you'll hear this. And as ever, there'll be no running, no bombing, absolutely no petting. So, take your protein pill and put your helmets on as we move into our first top three. Our first category is your top three costume dramas. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for the category in question sits out the chat. In this case, that's Russell, so if you'd sit this one out, please. OK, let's start off then. I don't know why, but I'm going to start with Will Smith.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the film Name of the Rose, so I'm going to go for Cadfile as one of my favourites, because it's like Name of the Rose, but rubbish. Like Name of the Rose has this fantastically compelling kind of portrayal of the brutality and insanity of medieval life, whereas Cadfile had a bunch of hammy actors wearing rugs, standing in the copse by the M25, saying crap lines like, "The sword and the crucifix are similar in shape. Do not confuse them in purpose." And I really like my costume dramas to really accurately reflect the kind of the times they're supposed to be representing, which is why I don't like Robin Hood.
You mean the new Robin Hood?
The new Robin Hood. Oh, no, I like Robin Hood generally, but yeah. I like, you know, yellow tights and quite gay. But the new Robin Hood, like, I watched one of them, and it had a line where he said something like, "Do not judge your enemy, lest you be a friend of God." And someone went, "Is that in the Bible?" And he went, "No, the Quran. When I was in the Crusades, I wanted to know who we were fighting against." Now, I know, it's dreadful. I mean, I'm all for multiculturalism and pluralist society, but the Crusades were just a bunch of knights who marched across Europe to burn down towns and cut people's heads off. There wasn't a cultural exchange programme. So I don't like those.
So you discounted those?
I'm discounting those. But my favourite costume drama of all time is Howard's Way.
Set...
Now, well, yes, now you're going to say it's not a costume drama. I'm going to maintain that a costume drama, definition of that would be a drama where you see people wearing costumes that you wouldn't see in everyday life. And and everyone, to a man, in Howard's Way, dresses like an arsehole. even the men, if they're just in jeans and T-shirt, they will kind of tuck the T-shirt into the jeans and pull the jeans up to just under the nipple. And it's not only the ridiculous costumes that I love Howard's Way for, it's also the acting. You know, it's like, "I'm going to invest all my money in the boatyard, Jan." It's just no one actually... It's wonderful, I'm transfixed by
it. It's funny,
so.
Because of all of us, you're the one person I would imagine to actually say those lines.
Yes.
Maybe that's why I'm drawn to it. But there is an actual line... I wrote it down, yeah. Yeah, this is my favourite line from Howard's Way.
Well, pretend we're in a pub and it's you saying.
Okay, and I'll say to you...
All right, see you later, Will. I've enjoyed our time in the pub.
No, you've got to say to me, I'll think about... What do you think of my idea?
What do you think of my idea?
"You can come to me with all these fancy plans, Russell, but I build my boats out of wood."
Now,
thank you.
3 points for that little drama. Natalie Haynes.
Essentially, you have to be a mum to like costume dramas. That's who they're made for. Let's cast Colin Firth. Mums like him. Sense and Sensibility was the finest mum casting in the history of time. Who should we put in? Who did the ladies like? Hugh Grant. That would work. And then we need somebody who's quite young and quite handsome. Greg Wise. Ta-da! The mum points. Yeah. They're
by
made
the way,
for mums.
That's my favourite Sense and Sensibility, although you kind of should have half the points, because I like the most recent version by Andrew Davis.
Oh, they're all the same, though. It's always some girl... They're all sat around eating cake, and one girl's meant to go out with some bloke, but she doesn't like him, and there's a bloke who looks after cows, and she really fancies him. And then you turn the telly off, and that's the end of it. And your mum goes, "Oh, no, look, Mr Darcy, he's really erotic. It's a fat man in a pond, mum."
Any other costume dramas you'd like to mention, apart from the one that I like?
I would go with Bleak House, because it's so rare to find a costume drama that also has a scene of spontaneous combustion in it. And not only has a scene of spontaneous combustion, but in the last version, had Scully from the X-Files around to investigate.
Costume dramas, Richard Herring.
I like... I was in one. I was in a costume drama called Servants.
Were you?
Which didn't go on to be very successful. in which I, so I like that one. I played a shepherd called Percy.
Oh, I can see you as a shepherd.
And I had to grow I had to grow big mutton chops.
A smock.
But actually, because it was a really good show. Yeah. I think it was up against Big Brother or something.
Hang on a minute. Somebody put up against Big Brother idea of you as a shepherd called Percy.
The master of the house had made me dress up like an archetypal shepherd in order to welcome his guests. So I was an actual shepherd who was annoyed about having to dress up in sort of stereotypical stuff.
I can't believe that Big Brother got higher ratings than this.
I know. You know, but it is what's the definition of a costume drama, because everything's a costume drama apart from hair. So that if you that could be anything. You could say Neighbours is a costume drama, showing us what people in Neighbours in Australia were wearing 6 months ago when it was filmed.
You can have that then, Richard. How about that? We open up the doors to that suggestion.
Neighbours is good. Life on Mars is a costume drama from the 1970s. Planet of the Apes, I like. Which is set in the future, but they all wear costumes. They do wear costumes.
I'll give you a point for bringing up Planet of the Apes. I like that. They all wear kind of leathery sort of loincloths and things, don't they?
And the apes wear costumes, which is good.
Yeah, that's good value for money, isn't it?
It is. Because in a way, they've got two costumes on the floats. I Clavdivs, I quite liked.
Oh, I like
that. That's great.
Yeah, that was good.
But I like I Claudius because it had Christopher Biggins in it, which amongst John Hurt and...
As the definitive Nero.
As the Nero. And Christopher Biggins must have thought, this is it, this is the big time. I'm going to be taken seriously as an actor.
No more on safari.
And alas, it didn't work out for him.
Okay, time's up on this topic. I'll be asking you for your final top threes very shortly. Before I do, I just need to remind you about the Joker. As usual, if any of your top threes match what Russell has in his envelope, you'll get a bonus point for each match. But if you're confident you can predict some of Russell's answers, you can play your Joker and you get double points for everything you match up. So if you've got one Joker each, you have to play it at one point during the game. It could be now, could be later. Let's see if anyone's feeling lucky. Will, what are your top three costume dramas?
Mine would be Cadfael, Howard's Way and I, Claudius. I've no idea what Russell... It could be Top of the Pops for all I know from him, so I'm not playing the Joker.
You're not playing the Joker. OK, Richard, what have you got?
I'm pretty sure this will be in Servants, especially the scenes involving Percy. I was in two scenes. The Tudors and Planet of the Apes.
Natalie? I am also not playing my Joker, so I'm going to go with Bleak House... I, Claudius, and I'm going with Pride and Prejudice because he'd ever heard of Colin Firth.
Right, OK then. So, Russell Howard, please let us know what are your top three costume dramas. We're on the edge of our seats.
Rome.
Oh, Rome!
That's nearly I, Claudius.
It's good, yeah, you'd love that. It's just killing and then the occasional breast, a little bit more killing. Secondly, Shaft. Finally, it's a bit of a weird coincidence, because I knew it as Percy the Angry Shepherd, but apparently it's called Servants.
So, amazingly, Richard and Russell matched up, get 1 point each. So at the end of round one, the scores tell us that Russell Howard is last in second place, Will Smith, and in joint first place, Richard Herring and Natalie Haynes.
Yeah, get in.
OK, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reasoning behind it. Natalie, you're up first. So, Either Or. Man or mouse?
Mouse. Because anything that man does quite well, a mouse does a little bit better. Danger Man. It's all right. It's Patrick McGoohan. Mm-hmm. Danger Mouse. Hello.
5 points, I think. OK, Russell Howard. Dambusters or Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters.
Why?
You asked me to choose who do I fear more, ghosts or Nazis? And it's ghosts.
I'll give you 3 points for logic, Russell.
Thanks.
Will Smith, starter or pudding?
Starter. Because I can eat it all, whereas a pudding, the rule is anyone with a spoon can steal my food.
That is a bizarre rule, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You would never go near anyone's starter, but pudding is just, yeah. Will's got a pudding.
If you go, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
Back up. Suddenly the date's ruined and it's my fault.
Will, I'll give you 4 points for that because I never thought of it before. And finally, Richard Herring. Gordon Ramsay or Ronald McDonald?
Gordon Ramsay has 3 Michelin stars, which I think is 3 more than Ronald McDonald has managed, despite having about 1 billion restaurants. So Gordon Ramsay surely has to win.
I'll give you 3 Michelin points.
Thank you.
So we'll add those points onto our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top three. Natalie, you're sitting this one out, so please sit back as we hammer out the top 3 sporting heroes. Can you start us off, please, Richard?
I'm a marathon runner, so I like Paula Radcliffe.
I ran one marathon.
I got 4 hours, 17 minutes, 50 seconds, just inside the 4 hour, 18 minute barrier that all serious athletes are aiming for. Eddie the Eagle Edwards has got to be one of the greatest sportsmen of all time because he's, you know, he was rubbish. So I could identify with that. I guess, like me, he was probably picked last in games. And he's still gone on to compete at the Olympics.
But most of us were picked last for ski jump in games.
I like Paul Chick, who was at my school. He was just really good at cricket. I remember once he did this catch where he literally he jumped about 8 feet in the air and was at a 90-degree angle and caught the ball. He was just the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So
I'll give you a point, because that's quite a sentimental answer in his own way.
You.
Will, what are your thoughts?
I've always liked Mallory and Irvin, who are the two Englishmen who decide to walk up Everest in tweed jackets and sensible shoes, because it's just like there's people who run marathons by just doing no training and going, I'll just keep going until I get the 26 miles. Easy. Pelé, obviously.
Absolutely.
I mean, you look at most footballers now and most of us think of them as just half brain-dead idiots. And he's the opposite. Well, it is baffling, though, isn't it? Like, no, but Pelé, completely different, came out and did an ad for impotence. Well, not for impotence. It was for the cure.
Do you not find it really depressing that Pelé is forced to do adverts for erectile dysfunction? He's penniless.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah, Colleen McLaughlin more from football than Pelé. I'll tell you, he's a really good footballer. Mickey Quinn, have you heard about him? You'll love him, right? He was 18 stone, he was a striker, and he made the most outrageous sporting claim ever. He said that over a yard, he was faster than any man alive. Now... Matt Letizia as well. He's a sporting hero, isn't he? Could have gone... Yeah, exactly. He's got a loyal, stylish, and he looks a little bit like a Coronation Street extra.
I'm going to give you a point because you got a grunt of agreement from the audience when you mentioned Matthew Letizia.
It was one load Southampton fans.
Not
fantastic.
Many grunts from the audience, so I'll give you a point immediately if you get a grunt
but
from the
audience.
But he
was offered $60,000 to go to Chelsea, and he stayed at Southampton. And I like to think he did that because when he took corners, they used to pray at him. Nobody gets that in their job. Imagine that. That's it. That's the equivalent of just...
Archbishops. Well. Got another one. David Icke. Well, he was a goalkeeper, so he's kind of sporting. And then he was a well-known and much-loved sports presenter. And then one day decided, I think the world's run by lizards, I better tell people. He then kind of said, no, I meant that I could feel the power of energy coursing through me.
He did do a lot of, no, I meant that.
Yeah.
When I said the Isle of Wight would sink into the sea, I meant it wouldn't sink into the sea.
We will stop there talking about sporting heroes. So, if you're feeling confident and want to play your joker, then you should do so now before we find out what is in Natalie's envelope. So, we'll start with you. Your top three, please, Will.
Pelé. And I'll go for Tonya Harding, the skater, who rather than just train and get really good, paid someone to smash her rival's knee in. But David Icke.
You're not playing your joker, then?
No.
Russell Howard?
Pelé. Mickey Quinn and those fellas out of Cool Runnings.
There was a film. Thank you. And Richard Herring, your top three, please.
Paula Radcliffe, Paul Chick and Martin Cross, who I haven't mentioned, who is my genuine sporting hero, because I was taught to row by Martin Cross, who won a gold medal at the Olympics.
Natalie, no one has played their joker, so I don't think anyone's confident they know what's in your envelope, but please do tell us what is in it.
Number one, I chose Ronnie O'Sullivan. I like tennis more than anything, so I picked Roger Federer because he plays beautiful tennis and he's a strangely beautiful man but with a big potato nose, and I like that. And thirdly, I went with Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yes. Good one.
Yeah, because he's cool.
Excellent answer. So no extra points there, and nobody's played their joker yet, but we'll add up the points from the previous round, and we find that in last place currently Russell Howard, in joint second place Richard Herring and Will Smith, and in first place Natalie Haynes. OK, time for another quick-fire round. This time it's Simply the Best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite Trivial Pursuit category, please. As the audience arrived today, we asked them what their favourite Trivial Pursuit category was, and our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. So, are you ready? Russell Howard.
History.
History. Any particular reason?
Nope.
Good. Natalie.
I think they'll choose entertainment.
OK. Will, what are your thoughts?
Entertainment again. But
OK.
It's my best round.
Richard Herring.
Entertainment.
You think an audience that come to this show would like entertainment?
I do.
OK, then, so this, in reverse order, is, according to the audience, their favourite Trivial Pursuit category. Third place with 14% of the vote, science and nature. That's green. Second, with 19%, is arts and literature, brown, which means, with 35% of the vote, entertainment. Yes. Which means that three of our panellists all score from that particular round. So we'll push straight on to our next top three. And this time it's your top three cocktails. Will Smith, you're sitting this one out. So what do you think, Natalie? Cocktails.
What I hate about cocktails is that they always go for a sort of risque title.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as a general rule, if somebody's given something a name that's intended to make a hen party squeal, I'm not drinking it. I think the worst modern era cocktail is when you go to a party in an office and they go, would you like some punch? And then you find out that they have brewed it in their bin. because it's the only thing that's big enough. And they go, we put boiling water in it first. Okay, no. Would you like some? No. Can I have something that's not made in a bin, please?
They all make you feel so inadequate, though. It's a big list of things that you can't give somebody. Screaming orgasm, slow, comfortable screw. There should be, like, other options, like an awkward fumble. ones that where things actually occur in relationships. Just watching telly in bed. You got any?
Richard, would you like to talk cocktails?
I like the ones you can set fire to, like the Molotov cocktail. which I've come up with a brilliant cocktail. It's made mainly out of petrol. I thought if there was going to be a cocktail, I was going to make one up, I would call it this, but it already exists, which is a tequila mockingbird. which is cider. Takes me back to Percy the Shepherd. It's cider based with tequila, obviously, cassis and lime juice.
Russell, any suggestions?
I found one on the internet called the One Bald Dictator, which is five parts Liefrauer Milch, one part French champagne. Apparently it's poured in a glass over one cinnamon ball, and this is the quote that went with it. It is the drink which accompanies the hit song Hitler Has Only Got One Ball.
Hit song. It was never officially released.
Would you buy this cocktail? It's called the Mind Eraser. Just go, oh, yeah, I have a mind. That's what I want. I want my mind erased.
If you really hated somebody, it was going to be a mastermind. Nervous, have a go on this.
Try this at home. Vodka, Kahula, tonic water. Is that how you say it?
No, it's Kahlua.
From now on, that is absolutely how you say it. Cooler,
I can't even read it. It's over ice, and then you gulp it through a large straw in one shot. That is what you have. That's a mind eraser. If you do that with whatever Kahula is.
Well, time's up on this topic. Don't forget, if you haven't played your Joker, you still have to. There's one round to go, so let's hear your final top threes, starting with Richard.
I am forced to play my Joker, as I can't play it on my own round,
true,
unfortunately. So I'm going to go for... I think he'd like a pina colada, because it's the kind of thing Bergerac would drink. He'd like a cocktail from Lord of the Rings, probably.
Yeah.
It's probably called Gandalf's Rod or something like that. And he thinks he's sophisticated, but he isn't. So he would have a Manhattan.
OK. Russell?
I'm going to go for a... I've just wrote down Bergerac, but... maybe Will's invented his own cocktail called the Bergerac that he has whilst he's listening to Meridian. a Tom Collins and a screaming orgasm.
OK, Natalie, your top three, please.
I think Will would choose a martini.
Yeah.
Because he's so James Bond. Similarly, I think he sees himself in quite a nice Raffles-type context, so I'm going with the Singapore Sling.
Clever.
And finally, I'm saying Tequila Sunrise, because there's an episode of Dempsey and Makepeace called Tequila Sunset.
very good. Surely you're playing your Joker.
I am playing.
Yes.
Why not?
Okay. Can I play my Joker and change my answers to Natalie's answers?
No. Let's see how many points are scored then. Will Smith, please tell us, what are your top three cocktails?
Well, to Russell and Richard, who were trying to guess what cocktail Bergerac would have, Bergerac is, of course, a recovering alcoholic, so don't touch any alcohol, cocktail or not, you idiots. So my favourite cocktails are White Russian, because it's not just a great drink, it's also one of the standout tracks on Marillion's Clutching at Straws album. Caprinia, a drink introduced to me by Fish from Marillion, which it's many happy memories. And a little tipple of my own making called a rushed, uncomfortable screw.
No extra points scored there, sadly, even with the jokers. We find out then, adding all the scores in, that in last place at the moment is Russell Howard. Joint second, Richard Herring, and Will Smith still in the lead, Natalie Haynes. OK, time for another round of either-or. Again, it's points for reasons, not answers. Natalie Haynes, either-or, Goofy or Pluto?
I go with Pluto, because he's named after the Greek god of the dead.
2 points. Will Smith, Robbie Williams or Robin Williams?
Robbie Williams, because Robin Williams has caused me a lot of discomfort. I am one of the only people in the world who sat through the whole of Bicentennial Man, in which he plays... a robot who wants to become human, and at the end I wanted him to become human, mainly so I could inflict mind-rending pain on him.
He'll give you 4 points for that. Richard Herring, yes. By hook or by crook?
Well, I think you probably asked me this because of my experience with the crook as my role as Percy the Shepherd. That is where... it depends what you're doing. You know, if you are a shepherd and you select the hook, you're not going to last long. You know, I'll gather these lambs up with a hook. And if you're a pirate, then, you know, if you're walking around, go, I've lost my hand, but look, I've replaced it with a crook, then, you know, the other pirates are going to mock you.
So which one, then? Just to go back to the point of the question.
I, as a shepherd, go for hook.
OK, yeah. I'll give you 4 points. Russell Howard, breast or leg?
Isn't that funny? You know when blokes go, oh, would you prefer like blondes or brunettes? Like you have any choice. You're like everyone else, you'll take what you're given.
I'll give you 5 points for that. OK, we'll add those points to our final scores and go straight into our final top three. Richard, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three things that dads say. Russell.
Well, how about you're not mine? I hate your music so much. That was Marvin Gaye's dad. And, my granddad, is this allowed? Because that's my mum's dad, so technically he's a dad. He said this the other day to Noel Edmonds on the telly, it's fantastic. You know how Noel Edmonds wears his trousers up at that improbable level? My granddad went, here, Edmonds, why don't you put some jam in your shoes and invite your trousers down for tea?
Even though your granddad said it, I have to give you the points for passing it on, so I'll give you 3 points for that. Natalie Haynes.
Things I remember my dad saying, Daddy still loves Mummy, he's just not in love with Mummy. Alternate weekends will probably be more fun.
This is so bleak.
You're
welcome
up
to
the
my
points.
Childhood.
I'm going to give you some points because I'm almost welling up. Actually, I'll give you 3 points for the 3 tears that are about to drop from one of my eyes.
Thanks.
Will?
Well, the thing I dread my dad saying more than anything is him ringing me up and saying, I just don't know what I've done to the computer. And it's just even saying it here, I just feel my chest tighten because I know it's an hour of me on the phone to him. And it's on the level of understanding where, you know, I'll tell him how to fix something and at the end of it I'll realise that when I've said press enter, he's like, he'll sort of type in the word enter and then press the screen or something like that. You know, it's like trying to explain YouTube to a medieval peasant. It doesn't happen. But one time he said, I don't know what I've done, which always means he's done something bad. And I said, after trying to work out why it wasn't working, I go, well, you must have done something. He goes, well, all I can think of. And what he'd done, he'd gone through every folder in his computer and anything that he didn't recognise or know what it did, he deleted. So he was just like, system profiler, firmware installer, disk utility. I never use any of that. So there's that. And then the other thing is, no one's going to be looking at your shoes, which is usually after he'd paid like £3 for a pair of clogs from a jumble sale and was telling me I'd look really cool at a Jersey Youth Rock Battle of the Bands competition.
OK, I think that's enough dad talk, unless you want to guess mine, but you won't guess it.
Andrew, I love you. Andrew, let's you and me go tobogganing.
Whatever excuse I gave to my dad, he would use part of that sentence in his reply.
That's brilliant when people are, I'm going down the shops. I'll go down your shops in a minute. That doesn't make any sense. No, you don't make any sense.
Now you're getting the answer, and I'm giving you it, basically.
So now you're getting the answer. Yes.
So I'm going to dad talk you in a minute. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask for your top threes.
Well,
and if you haven't played
your
Joker... Anyone who hasn't played their Joker has to play it. OK, let's hear your final top threes and whether you're going to go for it. Natalie, what do you think?
We're not lost. I don't even mean by lost. Lost, this is creative driving. And other things he used to lie about, I'll say for number two, is it's a level walk. It isn't a level walk, Dad. Do you know how I know? We're in Switzerland. I'm going to go with, you're not going out just like that.
OK. Will Smith.
When he answers the phone, it'd be, hello, oh, hang on, let me turn the machine off. I don't know what I've done to the computer, and no one's going to be looking at your shoes.
And Russell?
I've gone for, hey, Rich, pass me that Uzi. We can shoot our way out. The second one is, hey, Richie, baby, get your leathers, let's go to Dresden. And the final one is, don't be afraid, Rich. It's me, it's your dad. I jumped out of the cake.
Oh, dear. Do you even need to open that envelope?
OK, people are playing for points now, Richard Herring. Open your envelope, please.
The answers are, my correct answers, you treat this house like a hotel.
Very good.
Number one. Number two, in my day, we had proper music. This is just bang, bang, bang. Number three, it's at times like these I wish I'd actually used those condoms.
OK, the scores are in. I'm afraid that means at the end of today's show, our top three losers are Will Smith, Russell Howard and Richard Herring. And in first place, our winner, Natalie Haynes. So that's all from us for today's show. Big thank you to all my guests. And remember, the NHS may be a joke, but laughter is supposed to be the best medicine. Goodbye.
Banter was presented by Andrew Collins and featured Natalie Haynes, Richard Herring, Russell Howard and me, Will Smith. The show was devised by Tim Barber and the producer was Alison Carpenter. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.